Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to this edition of the Miracle Prayer Day. We are so glad that you are joining us this morning. I praise God for all of his blessings, and I'm so happy that you all are here with me this morning. We're certainly looking forward to an exciting program this morning, and I just want to say good morning to everyone. This time, if you're participating on program, before we go into our praise and worship, I'm going to ask that you press 1. I have a list of all the participants, and I just need to verify that you are there. If you go ahead and press 1 to ensure that you're on the line, we certainly would appreciate that. Press 1 at this time if you're certainly part of the participants, so that we can go ahead and do our check-off. I see that for our praise and worship this morning, Ms. Zenofia is here. Let me see my co-host to be here, Ms. LeBron. I believe she's there as well. Let me just go ahead and make certain, and we're going to be calling the roll. If you're here participating, we're going to ask that you press 1 on your dial. Ms. LeBron, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Walker.
All right. Ms. LeBron is certainly the co-host for the program this morning, and she will be taking us through the first series. Let me just do a roll call. Sister DeNova, are you there?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning. Just stand by, please. If you're participating this morning, please press 1 on your dial so that we'll know that you're there. Sister Kim Lee Wong, are you there? Okay, Sister Kim Lee Wong is not there yet. If you're on program this morning, we're going to ask that you press 1. And I know that some of you all are still coming in, and we're grateful for that. Sister Shepherd, are you there? All right, we're not hearing from Sister Shepherd yet. Ms. Woodbury, if you're hearing us, if you reach out to some of the people that are not there yet, if you're on the program, press 1. Ms. Evans, Sister Evans, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, I am here. I am here, Dr. Walker. I think Sister Shepherd is on, but she has to press 1 because I just spoke with her.
Okay, Sister Shepherd. All right, let me just go ahead. I think she is on now. Sister Shepherd, you're there?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
All right, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And our speaker for the hour, I'm sorry, not our speaker for the hour yet. Sister Donna Pert, are you there?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I am.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for responding. Let's see here. Mr. Quisenberry. Are you there yet? Okay, Ms. Quisenberry is not here yet. We'll reach out to him. Sister Antoinette, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I'm here, Dr. Walker. Shabbat shalom,
okay.
Everyone.
Okay, all right. Sister Kimberly Wong, we haven't heard from yet. Mr. James Johnson, are you there? Brother Johnson? All right, and we know that Ms. LeBron is here. Ms. Quisenberry, we see I'm here from Pastor Ben Floyd. Are you there? Good morning.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. Good morning, sir. Okay. Great.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. And Ms. Clark is here. Pastor Floyd is here. I'm here. Okay. Sister Belinda, our speaker this morning, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. All right. We've got a wonderful roll call this morning. All right. Ms. LeBron will take us through the first several people. And before we do that, we're going to have there's one more person checking in. Let's see here. Sister Kimberly Wong, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Good morning to everyone. And before we begin, we're going to go right to our music, and then Sister LeBron will bring us in to take us through the first few steps all the way up to the opening prayer. Let us go now to our music this morning to invite God into the presence by our music.
Guide us with your grace. Give us faith.
Amen. Amen. Sister LeBron.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Today is our miracle prayer day, so expect a miracle, something that you have been praying for because you got up so early in the morning to meet with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We expect a miracle today. We have a good program lined up for you today. We have our guest speaker, Ms. Melinda Gamage. We have our theme for today is identifying your community outreach, And also we have our prayer warriors. So it's something about something to be said about somebody that is interceding on your behalf before the Lord. So we're going to program this morning with our praise and worship with Sister Donova Clark. Sister Donova?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Praise and worship. Lord, I just want to invite you here so that we can truly worship you. We ask that as we participate in this time, that your Holy Spirit would direct us, that we would have an encounter with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anyone who has a special song that they'd like to sing? I mean, a hymn. You have to excuse me. I've had a long week, but God has been more than merciful to me. So,
I do, Sister DeNova. The song that you wrote, I would love for our audience to hear that song that you wrote this morning, and just that one song will certainly suffice for our praise and worship.
Amen. Good morning. This song was a blessing. This song was written in a time where it was very difficult. So the name of the song is called Momentary Light Afflictions, and it's given to us from 2 Corinthians, where it says, but these momentary light afflictions are something that we bear and that we're not to think that these trials are strange that come upon us, brethren. If we have the faith of God, if we have the faith of Jesus Christ, there will be no burden that the Lord will leave us to bear alone. Momentary light affliction, darkening the doorway of my life. Momentary light affliction, darkening the doorway of my life. But joy comes in the morning joy, comes in the morning joy. Comes in the morning, in the morning joy. Comes in the morning joy. Comes in the morning joy. Comes in the morning sun. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. For joy comes in the morning joy, comes in the morning joy, comes in the morning in the morning joy, comes in the morning joy, comes in the morning joy, comes in the morning sun. May God bless you this morning. May you find his peace, his rest, his answers. May you never cease to pray until he brings back to you the joy and the love, the first love that you had in Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Beautiful song, beautiful. Bring the morning joy. That's what we need this morning. We need the joy of Jesus this morning. At this time, we're going to go into our welcome and our purpose from Sister Kim Lee Wang. Sister Kim, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good morning, good morning. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Praise the Lord for that beautiful singing, Sister DeNova. As we gather here this morning, this weekend, we are, our focus is on how to identifying your community outreach. And it is indeed a privilege to be on this line this morning. I welcome each and every one of us that are here. For myself, I have not been on this platform. It's been quite a while, and so I praise the Lord that his divine intervention, you know, prevented this, has actually allowed me the privilege of being here this morning. And I just want to read something here quickly. It says, seek until you have found, seek until you have the joy of finding. The lesson of persevering faith and labor, Christ himself has taught us. In the parable of the lost sheep, he has presented to our imagination no picture of a sorrowful shepherd returning without the sheep. The shepherd's search ceases not until the lost is brought back to the fold. The woman whose coin is lost searches till she finds it. These parables do not speak of failure, but of success and joy in the recovery of the lost. Here is the divine guarantee that not one lost soul is overlooked, not one is left unsuccored. With all our efforts in seeking for the lost, Christ will cooperate. So this morning, we all would like to say, I will go into our local communities to seek those who are lost, those who are depressed, those who are going through mental, physical, spiritual anguish that they do not know where to find the joy. And so, you know, as we pray today for divine, for our miraculous blessings, for us to have the wisdom to go into our local communities, may God truly empower us and give us the wisdom that we need to embark on this endeavor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Kim. We do appreciate that. Welcome. That was a powerful word. That's what we need to start our day with. We start our day with Jesus, knowing that without him, we could be nothing. Without him, we could be nothing. At this time, we're going to go before the throne with our opening prayer with Sister Shepherd. Sister Shepherd?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Can I go? Should I go ahead now and pray?
Yes.
Okay, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we give you thanks for this another beautiful Sabbath morning. And as we come, Lord, we just come to give you thanks and just present yourself and all the program that we have lined up for the morning, Lord. We just want to lay them at your feet, asking you to accept them, asking you to forgive us of the sins that you have committed all this week. And we just want to say thank you for giving us another day, another week, Lord. We want to present the instrument. We want to present the person, Lord, that are taking part. We want to present every single thing that we would have used this morning to glorify your name and to give you the praise and the honor, because you are our Father. And today is the day that it says, come and rest in you. Teach us how to rest in you so that we will be filled with the sweet Holy Spirit as we tarry at the foot of the cross. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This time we're going to go ahead. We're going to proceed with our opening scripture, which will be by Sister Evans. And we're going to kindly ask, if you all would be so kind, to mute your phones if you're not on program at that time. because we pick up every sound. If you're moving a piece of paper, the studio picked that all up, and we want to certainly have reverence on God's program. So it will interfere. So if you'd be so kind, if you're not participating at the time, please be so kind to mute your phone. Sister Evans, if you go ahead with the scripture and break that down for us, please. Thank you. That will be followed by the opening song by Sister Donna Pert.
Okay. May I have? Yes, I'm here. May I have the scripture?
You have the scripture?
Yeah. No.
Okay. It would have been a scripture on your own that you came up with that ties into the thing.
Okay, I got it. Okay, my scripture this morning is Psalms 91. It's a powerful scripture, Psalms 91. And I will read it for you this morning, and then I will let you know why I stand on Psalms 91. Father, as we open your words this morning, we always come to you in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God is the one that do the interpretation for us and on our behalf. Psalms 91 reminds us, he said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings shalt we trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear us up, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Hallelujah. The reason why I chose Psalms 91, God's promises and God's word are himself. He cannot deny his word, because he cannot deny himself. And the first chapter, the first verse of Psalms 91, we have to be dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. We have to be abiding under the shadow of the Almighty before we can go on from the second verse to the 16th verse. We have to abide in him to receive security, to receive protection, to receive everything that is promised in Psalms 91. We have to be under the shadow of the Almighty God. And when he said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. It's not just the word. It's the promises that God made to us, his children. When he said there shall no evil befall us, he means no evil will befall us. Just like when Moses and the children, they were there in captivity in Egypt. But when the plague passed that night over the house, the firstborn, but not one was slain in the house of Moses. So when we look at it, when he said no evil shall befall us, and when he remind us that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, it's a promise, and God cannot deny himself. He cannot, and even with this virus that is going around, if we believe that this plague, this virus, shall not come nigh our dwelling, if we stand on the promises of God, he gave us the power to trample on the serpents and on the dragon, and he said, nothing shall by any means hurt us. So I choose Psalms 91 because the promises of God are yes, amen, sealed, signed, and settled. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that eye-opening scripture this morning. This time we're going to be featured with special music for our opening song by Sister Donna Pert.
From sin and the grave, before the end, lift up the fallen. Now that O Jesus, the mighty, to save, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Oh, they are guiding him. Billy is waiting, waiting the panic and child to receive. Lead with them earnestly, lead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus is saved.
Elder Quisenberry.
Yes, good morning. The Lord has watched over me in several ways. People ask, how are you doing? And I will go, wonderfully blessed and highly favored. And people say that they have heard people say that, and that really doesn't mean anything. You know, everybody says that. I say it because I know what I've been through. I, at an early age, in my 20s, my brother and I were driving back from South Florida, Homestead, coming back into Miami, and a big dog ran in front of my Volkswagen. And as he did, he, instead of on I-95, and instead of him continue across the road, he stopped right in front of the car, and we hit him. And the people behind us who witnessed the accident said, in that Volkswagen, we went 6 feet off the ground. Then we went 4 lanes across the express I-95 and hit the guardrail. Instead of bouncing back in front of the traffic where they would have hit us, we rolled down. There was a center medium with grass at that time, and we hit that guardrail and rolled for 30 feet down that guardrail and landed on the four tires, which at that time were flat. And we were able to walk away from that accident. And in 2014, I had a heart attack and had open-heart surgery. In 2020-21, I had the coronavirus, and I was in the and this is after I had 4 stents put in my heart. The next week, the coronavirus had me back in the hospital, and I had I was there for another 2 weeks with the coronavirus, and I survived that. And I know what the Lord has done. I could have died in any of those things, but people tell me that I was saved because the Lord has a work for me. And I believe that. My testimony today is a proof, because, you know, we as Christians have to believe and trust in the Lord. In Psalms 119, verse 116 and 17, it says, "Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto the statutes continually." I believe that the Lord is working with me, for me, and has blessed me in so many ways. I want to thank you for the opportunity that I can praise and honor the Lord. I've been preaching since I was in my teens, and I still preach because I know what the Lord has done for me. I am wonderfully blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name, I want to say thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Elder President Barrett, we're certainly... I know of the things that you've gone through, and certainly the God has caused you to be blessed and highly favored. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. This time we're going to go into why God's work in the community is so important, and we're going to have a special talk by Sister Antoinette Arrington. Sister Arrington, thank you for being here with us this morning.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Walker. This is my passion to carry out the Great Commission. Let me just open with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly gracious Father, as we gather together in your name,
and seeking, Father, to be true servants in our community. Help us to understand from the truths of your scripture what it is that you would have us to do and how to do it. We're all seeking, Father, to do thy will according to thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, when Dr. Walker asked me to speak on the importance of identifying your community and outreach, the importance of outreach, that is my passion. I truly believe we are all called to the Great Commission. And I'm just going to read that passage of scripture from Matthew 28, and I'm going to begin in verse 16. Heavenly Father, bless your word as I open it. We know it's living and active, and may it truly be illuminated in the lives of the listeners this morning, as well as myself, the speaker, Father, that we would gather the truths from scripture and be able to apply them to our lives in Jesus' name. The 11 disciples went out into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, and it reads, and these are the words of Jesus, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." This concludes the reading of the scripture, and I'd like to elaborate a little bit on that. You know, many times, you know, we think that this Great Commission is just for those that are called to be missionaries, when the reality is we are all missionaries. And the Great Commission is the Great Commission. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. So I wanted to support that with those two scriptures, and then just to share with you how to identify our Judea. You notice the scripture says Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost. Some people get called and want to just go to the world, and they're called to just preach to a specific group of people. But we are all called as disciples and followers of Christ to be a light, a safe haven in our community. And we need to identify the needs of our community. And it's, you know, not that difficult. I mean, it could be as simple as just inviting somebody for a dinner, you know, going to someone's house and helping them with a project, a chore, a single mother with babysitting and watching her children. There's so many ways that we can reach out, you know, to our community and identify the needs. And the importance of that, I'm reminded of scripture in Hebrews 10:24. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." I'm also reminded in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, "The two are better than one, for either when one falls, the other can help him up." And, you know, it's just so important for us to remember the importance of this commandment, because I think Sister Kim Lee Wong mentioned about the shepherd. You know, he's the great shepherd. He leaves the 99 to go to the one. You know why? That one sheep that is astray is in danger of the wolves. The pack of wolves will never come and attack a herd of sheep that are gathered together. And I just want to encourage you. I'm going to just read something that I read, I mean, that I wrote many years ago, but I wanted to encourage you all to remember there's always someone in our neighborhood that is lonely, you know, and that
that leads us to danger and pitfalls and despair and even to despondency, which we know leads to suicide. And we have a lot of that in our day and time, even amongst our young people. So if we can first identify the needs of our community, which is our Judea, which we're responsible to be a light to first, and then Samaria is the other parts, the surrounding, then the world. So we can all begin, you know, with that local calling of the Great Commission. So, you know, with that being said, I just want to remind you that we have like 7.5 billion in the world. And you know what? We shouldn't feel lonely, but people are lonely everywhere. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in our own lives, our own church lives, our children's activities. And we don't take the time to really get to know one another and our neighbors. You know, I'm reminded in the time, in Jesus' time in Israel, they lived in kibbutz. They lived in communities where people did everything together. And that is a safeguard. It's a safeguard for the Church of Christ. It's also a safeguard for the people in our community. So even though we might mingle amongst ourselves in church and occasionally we, you know, make friends at work, but are you really being authentic in your community? And I challenge you, and it's an admonition. I challenge myself each and every day. God did not intend for us to live in isolation. He specifically designed us to crave and to thrive in relationship with one another. We are at our best when we're experiencing highs, life and lows when we're with others. And we tend to isolate ourselves when we need to be around people the most at that time. So that means everyone, whether you're single or married, we all need community. Don't take it, you know, for granted, and don't take it just from what I'm saying. I'm going to share with you what the Bible has to say about this topic. And there are four reasons why the Bible tells us community is so important. Community is encouraging. Being in community gives you the chance to be around people at different stages of their faith, and even those without faith, and to bear their burdens alongside of them, according to Galatians 6:2. That's an awesome way, because everyone has something to teach and to learn. And in fact, it creates the ideal environment to be a Barnabas to someone. Barnabas, pursue a Paul. We all need a Barnabas, which is a friend. We all need a Paul, which is a teacher. And we all need a Timothy. God always works in numbers of three. So you always need someone on your level, a friend that may be in that same journey, but you still need a teacher above you to hold you accountable. And then we learn from teaching. So we all need a Timothy, a student. And I read to you that scripture, which I love, from Hebrews 10, to spur one another on towards good love and deeds. Community is also fun. I remember growing up, I don't know if any of you, we had block parties in New York where we would block off the whole block and people would just gather together. How much more, if the world can do that, we as children of God should be able to do that where it permits and play Christian worship music, have activities for the children to teach them the word of God. You know, when I did missionary work in Italy, that's how we did it. We did it in the parks because their lifestyle, they're very family oriented and they go into parks to fellowship. And we would do vacation Bible schools right in the park. We would have food, you know, tables for people to eat and music. We need to influence our community. So it's fun. And we should not think that because people don't believe what we believe, that we can still not influence them by being friendly, by being loving, by being kind, by being compassionate. Then they'll want to hear about our Christ and the gospel that we so eagerly want to proclaim. But we need to take the litmus test. Are we really truly living it? Does Christ live in us? Because he cared for the wayward, the downcast, the forgotten, the outcast. You know, we need to go to the highways and the byways and compel them. Community attracts the Holy Spirit. Matthew 18:20. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's present whenever believers gather together. A great example of this is when the early church in Acts, which made a habit of meeting together, and I read to you a little bit from Acts 1:8. They met together, they worshiped together, And as a result, the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. And that's in Acts 2, 46 and verses 47. Being in church on Sabbath or Sunday, whichever you worship, is definitely important. We need to gather with the believers to strengthen and encourage one another. But Christ wants us to follow his example in everyday life and reach out to our community. Community, lastly, fosters love. God said, we will know his church and his people by what? By love, genuine love. We've probably all been to a wedding where the officiant recites that familiar word from 1 Corinthians 13, which ends with, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul held love above all else in his letter to the Corinthians, and he did the same with his letter to the Colossians. Quote, bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's from Colossians 3:13. And community is life-giving and essential to following Christ. Scripture says that because we're better together than we are alone in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, it can be hard for some of us to commit to community, especially if we're guarded or we prefer solitude. But community is God's desire for us and a sign of a mature faith, because at the end of the day, when we grow in our relationship with others, we're growing in relationship with him. So I just want to encourage you all to, no one can resist love, and no one will remember anything that you say to them, but they will always remember how you make them feel. People want to feel conclusive. They want to feel included. They don't want to be excluded. So we in our community have to learn to be friendly neighbors and love our neighbors, right? We're commanded, the great commandment, to love, to treat others as we want to be treated, to love thy neighbor, to be kind, to be generous, and to be given. And we all have an elderly neighbor. We have a single mother. We have a rebellious teenager. We all have this in our community. We have it in our own homes. So let us remember that we're not better than anyone and that we need to reach people at their level and put ourselves in their shoes and in their situation. Then they're going to want to be attracted to our gospel message and to our Christ and to our Heavenly Father. So I encourage you all. I hope that you all take the opportunity to do something this week. Take a challenge, even if it's making a meal for a neighbor. Something, greeting a new neighbor that's new in your neighborhood. Just make the effort and take the first step. And just as he told us, open our mouths and he'll speak through us. So be encouraged, brethren. Love one another and reach out to your community. It is important to identify the needs in your community and then be in outreach. God bless you all. Thank you, Dr. Walker, for the opportunity to be able to share. This is my heartbeat to be able to evangelize in our community, our Judea, then our Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. Amen. Sister Arlington, thank you, as always, for that educational insight and reminding us that we're at our best with people during their highs and lows and our highs and lows as well. And the fact that we need each other, and that reminding us also that there's still a lot of work out there to be done in our communities. The work is, I'm going to paraphrase what the Bible is saying here, that the work is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we need to really be about community ministry, and that's what our impact is on the message today. And our speaker will be coming to us later with Implanting Your DNA, Destiny Awakes Now. She will be bringing us that word momentarily, and she's going to show how that ties into our community. This time we're going to go ahead and have our first prayer testimony by Brother James Johnson. And, you know, if today is Miracle Prayer Day, and as they said earlier, during the welcome and purpose, as well as the praise and worship, this is Miracle Prayer Day. And as we get ready for testimony, I just want to just let you all know that if you think that getting up early in the morning is in vain when you're having your quiet time with God, or you're doing whatever meditation it is with God, God is real. God is real. And before Elder James Johnson comes on with his testimony, I just want to say that in a brief praise report here, that I have about 9 specialist doctors. I mean, these are like top-line doctors. And I've been having a pain in my side, and for almost 2 years, that not one of these doctors, and they're all over the age of 50, not one of these doctors could identify, after numerous MRIs, ultrasounds, CAT scans, bone scans, they could not identify what was wrong. And I remember the scripture that God, when Paul had a thorn in his side, and God said that my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Well, this pain was so excruciating that sometimes it was difficult to even tie my shoes. It was difficult to even bend over to do any type of exercise. And let me tell you, since we've been on these miracle prayer lines, and I'm holding back tears as I tell you this, these prayers that people have been praying, because I've even put mine out there, we're all human. We're all in this together. Well, let me tell you, God directed me to a young man doing physical therapy that doesn't have the impact of knowledge that these specialists have. Didn't have the impact of knowledge that the machinery that they put me on has. But lo and behold, God directed me in the right area. And this young man said to me in physical therapy, he just looked at my body and he did some measurements with his hand, and he said that your sacroiliac joint, that's they reference that as the SI, in the joint, near the hip, it's located near the hip area. And he said that your body is out of alignment. Your body is out of alignment. I'm like, that how could that be? He said one of your legs is a little shorter than longer than the other one. And so he took this tool, looked like a tool that you can get from the junkyard, and it's called the Graston, and a metal piece. And he said the only people who are certified in this can use this tool. He put it in the middle of my back with some muscle relaxer underneath there and began to rub my back towards in the spinal area. And then he did an exercise. And then I got for the next 3 days, I had so much relief, but that's prayer. That was the prayer that we come on these lines and we talk about Miracle Prayer Day. And I'm here to give you that praise report that I haven't felt this great in almost 2 years. I can bend over and tie my shoes. I want to give God the praise. I want to give him the honor and him the glory for just identifying this young man in physical therapy, something that my 9 specialists couldn't even identify. Let me tell you, if you have any doubts about something that may be going on in your life, and all you got to do is just pray to God and believe without a shadow of a doubt, God will come through and he will see you through whatever you're dealing with this morning. Elder Johnson, we want to ask that you go ahead and give your brief testimony. I apologize, you all. I didn't mean to take so long. But Elder Johnson, if you would go ahead at this time and give your testimony.
So happy Sabbath, everyone. I just want to truly thank the Lord for being in the Word and being in the truth. That is my one prayer that I will always continue to thank God for. It's just for reading the Bible and doing his word from the beginning of the Bible until the end of the Bible and understanding his plan. But I just want to thank the Lord because through all this coronavirus and through all this shutdown, that he has not allowed my family to come in contact like with anything, and he's kept us on our jobs. And when you hear on the news, so many people lost this, and people are really trying to put food on the table, and the kids aren't going like to school, and the parents have to struggle to try to teach and try to put food on the table. I just want to really thank the Lord that this kind of comes to an end, and things are opening back up, that he just kept me and my family in good health. He kept us on our jobs, because I'm a truck driver, and my wife is like a nurse. So we kind of had to be around people and go in places. But he kept that, like Dr. Walker just said, you know, he kept that hedge around us. And we kept the Sabbath. Sometimes we watched church like at home, but the pastor opened up the church for whoever wanted to come with the safety guidelines. And so we've been going to church. And I truly want to thank the Lord, because it didn't have to be that way. We could have been, you know, touched by the virus, and we could have, you know, lost our jobs. And but I just truly want to give God praise, like, for that. And it's just amazing that when you see other people going through things and you pray for them, as we did, and we gave clothes, and the church did, like, the food drives. And when you see that, it just makes you just say, man, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm not better than anybody else, but just thank you for keeping us and allowing us to be in a position, like, to help and to give clothes and to give food. So just want to say, you know, just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Johnson, for sharing your testimony about how God protects you and your family, even as a truck driver on that road. We know how dangerous that can be. All right, this time we're going to go ahead with begin with our first prayer warrior, Elder Dennis, this morning. If you have, let me tell you, if you're looking for a miracle in your life, as I have received my miracle, you want to get in on this prayer request. The format, Elder Dennis, people who have a special prayer request will give you their name, and they will give you their prayer request, whether it's unspoken or otherwise, or they may be asking you to pray as an intercessory prayer for someone, a family member, a friend, a coworker who may be going through something. So we're going to ask that you write that down, their name and their prayer request. And at this time, we'll take maybe two or three at this time. Anybody out there?
Dr. Walker, I would like prayer for my brother. This is Sister Antoinette Arrington. My brother's name is Max, and he, you know, he has struggled with that alternative lifestyle of homosexuality since he was very young. He's now 67, and, you know, with all of the world promoting all that, I mean, marrying or whatever, and so he has been in a long-term relationship and has been, separate himself from the family. So I don't even have, like, connection with him. So pray for, one, his deliverance of that lifestyle, and two, for God to send laborers his way to preach the gospel and the love of Christ to him. His name is Max. Thank you very much.
Okay, man. Elder Dennis, did you get that?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Are there any other spirit miracle prayer requests out there that you will want to get them in, because the power of God is unlimited?
Yes. This is Sister Beverly. I would like Brother Dennis to pray for me. The Lord has blessed me to the point where I'm getting some money, and I would love to get me a house for me and my children. So I'm looking for a house right now. So I'm asking the Lord to bless me with a house in a good neighborhood that, you know, I can be with my children after many years. I can actually have my kids spend time with me. So that one, that's going to be in my budget.
All right. That's Sister Beverly. We'll take one more because we have two other prayer warriors that will be coming on as well. Anybody else?
This is Ben Floyd.
Right, I'm sorry. Pastor
like
Floyd, go ahead.
I'd like to ask for a special prayer for me that my words that I speak may it be powerful in your name and for your sake, and that you have a covering and a blessing over my life as I continue my journey and my walk. And I also pray that you will continue to cover not only just my family, but all the people who are within my circle. I want everybody who are in my circle to be truly blessed, and I want him to use me to be a blessing to them.
Amen. Okay. Elder Dennis.
What was his name, Dr. Walker?
That was Pastor Floyd. Pastor Floyd.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go ahead with your prayers at this time because we're running out of time, you all, but we don't want to rush the Holy Spirit. Elder Dennis, go ahead with your prayer, please. Mute your phones, you all, if you'd be so kind.
Lord, as we humbly bow before you now, as we seek thy throne of mercy. We come to you, Lord, because you are the way, the truth, and the light. You have blessed us in so many ways all our lives, Lord. We come to you today because we have special requests. We have normal requests. We want abilities to do your will and to understand what you have for us, Lord. And we come to you and not go to our fellow man to find out what it is, but we come to you, Lord, because you can open our minds and our hearts and help us to accept what you give us. Lord, I want to pray for Dr. Walker and his pain. Lord, you know what he's been going through and you know the answer to it. Relieve him of the pain. Lord, we want to pray for Max. Max has been out there, Lord, in the world and has turned against the church and not following the Holy Word. And, Lord, we want him to realize that the homosexual lifestyle is not the way that you preach or teach us to live. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Lord, help him to understand what he needs to do to come back to the church, to your holy word. Lord, send someone who can touch him mentally, Lord, and pray with him and teach him that he will accept their words. Lord, help someone to approach him, Lord, that they will be bold and straightforward and honest, that he may understand what you have, his lifestyle be corrected. Lord, we want to pray for Beverly. She wants a desire of her heart. You furnish money. Now you a means of getting a house, Lord, in a good neighborhood for her family. She wants her children to live comfortably, Lord. And now that you have opened the door partially that she can see, we pray that you open it all the way, that she can see even better where she needs to go, what she needs to get, that her family will be blessed for a home that they can live together happily, Lord. Still serving you, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray for Pastor Floyd as he goes out and he preaches, Lord. He just doesn't want his words to fall on the wayside, but to be effective toward his fellow men and the women that he runs into, that he preaches to, that they would get the full impact of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they may understand and accept your will, your your blessings in their lives. Lord, he wants also that his family and his friends will be also influenced by his speaking, by his wanting the betterment for them. Lord, he just doesn't want to be like a tinkling cymbal or the brass, but he wants to be a loving, kind person that people will accept your holy will, your Holy Spirit, your blessings upon them through him. Lord, help him to be a more of a powerful speaker, not to uplift him, but to uplift you. Lord, there were some others out there that wanted to get in for a special prayer, Lord. Bless them in a mighty way. Bless my ministry as well, that as we live and work together to glorify you, Lord, help us understand we're doing it to glorify you, not ourselves. Forgive us all of our many sins, that we can have a closer walk with thee. Lord, bless this ministry here this morning that Dr. Walker is putting on for you, Lord, that more people can be influenced to you, Lord. And, Lord, thank you for the opportunity we all have to serve you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, can we all say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so very much for that, Elder Dennis. Thank you so very much for that prayer. At this time, we're going to continue with our program because the time is escaping us, and we certainly do not want to cut into the speaker's time. So we want to make certain that we give her the time to bless our hearts this morning. At this time, we're going to have a testimony, a brief testimony by Pastor Ben Floyd. Pastor Floyd.
Good morning. Good. Great. Silent morning, everybody. Good morning.
Amen.
I want to start off before I even begin my testimony by asking the Father to forgive me if I've done, said, acted in any type of way that was not in accordance to your name, anything I may have spoken that was not in accordance to your name, any thought that I may have had that was not according to your name. I also ask for full repentance, and I thank you for allowing me to be able to come to you asking for repentance. I do this every day on a daily basis because I don't know what I've done the day before, but I don't want to go into the new day with that balance in my new day. So I ask God to cleanse me and start me new and afresh. It's a new day, new mind, new body, new heart. So I thank you for that. My testimony is going to be very short today. I just want to say very quickly about almost 6 years ago, I was coming back from a job that I was working on, and I was on a motorbike, and somehow, not sure what the situation was, but I hit some sand, some oil on the road, and the bike swerved, and next thing I know, boom, on the ground. Well, long story short, I realized that I was in trouble. So I get up and try to get the bike up. I can't get the bike up. And a gentleman, and I'm going to say this just because it makes reference, a black gentleman that happened to be running. He was in an all-white shirt, white pants, had dreadlocks, just running. And it occurred to me that it was odd that he would be running in this particular place at this particular time. He stopped. He came over to me. He said, "Sir, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I think I'm okay." He said, "Do you need me to call 911? I said, "No, it'll be okay. Just call my brother. My brother Larry will come and get me." He said, "No, I'm going to call 911. Give me your phone." So at the time, it didn't occur to me. Now, in this day and time, you almost don't run across nobody that don't have a cell phone. But this gentleman didn't have a cell phone. Anyway, I told him, no, just call my brother, because my brother come and get me. He got my phone, he called 911, and then he gave me the phone, and it had dialed my brother's
number. I called my brother and said, hey, man, this is where I am. Come get me. He said, okay. Within a few minutes, he helped me get the bike up. Because at that time I was in the middle of the road, and he pulled me into the little median. And so I'm sitting there standing in the median, and I realized my leg was hurting, and I couldn't understand why my leg was hurting because I seemed like I was fine. Well, within 2 to 3 minutes, the ambulance came by, and in fact, they drove right past me. And I was thinking, wow, I didn't call the ambulance, did I? And I looked, and he said, no, I called the ambulance because you need the ambulance. The ambulance came back around, circled back around, and said, sir, does somebody have an accident? I said, yeah, it was me. And they're looking at me, and they said, well, you look like you were in an accident. I said, but I was. They stop, they get out, they get me on the stretcher. I said, don't worry about this. My brother Larry's going to come and get me, and if there's anything wrong, I'll have him drive me to the hospital. And they said, no, sir, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. They put me in the bed, they cut my jeans, they looked at me, they took my boots off, and the moment they did that, my entire leg went to the immediate right. So fast forward the story. I ended up in the hospital. I ended up with a 4th bone break. That means my upper and lower bones both were broke, snapped in half. Not only that, the top of my bones and my right foot was completely broken. The people that were in the ambulance asked me, I said, well, take me to this hospital here. It's closer. They said, no. We want to take you over to this hospital because they have the best doctor for this type of situation. Now, fast forward back. The gentleman who stopped to help me, I wanted to thank him and give him my number so we could stay in touch. I asked the lady, I said, did you see the gentleman in the all white that was standing here next to me? She said, sir, there was nobody standing next to you. I said, when you came by, it was a gentleman. Dark-skinned guy, dreads, white shirt, white shorts, white shoes. He was standing right next to me. She said, sir, from the moment we came down the street, we saw you in the bike, but we didn't see nobody else. And I'm looking around, and the place was open enough. There was not anybody that should have been able to escape us because you could see. Driving to the hospital, I was thinking about that. I said, now who was this guy that was just happened to be running in a place that you would not be running in, that happened to just be there at the time that I had the accident, and just happened to call 911 because he knew I wouldn't have been obedient to call it myself, or to call my brother, and let my brother stuck me in the car and took me to the hospital. I truly believe that this was either the angel of God or God himself or any manifestation that God wanted to choose because he needed me to be in the right place at the right time. Quickly, I get to the hospital. The doctors tell me it's a bad surgery. They got to get it done. They pretty much the next morning rush me into surgery, 9-hour surgery, blah, 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 blah. We get through. The doctor comes after surgery, tells me, Mr. Floyd, it's a possibility you might not be able to walk again properly because it was such a serious break. It was a 9-hour surgery. I said, basically, in these words, my father didn't tell me that. Fast forward. I'm at home, on the couch, broken leg, by myself. I was on the phone having a conversation. Next thing I know, a storm came. Boom. Lightning hit my house. Not only did it burn up all the electronics and the gadgets in the house, but it hit my truck and it hit me. It knocked me off the couch. I don't remember what happened then. I can't even tell you that. I can't even make it up. Only thing I remember is the fire people coming, my neighbor coming because he had a key to my house. They come in, they check on me, they open the door. I'm on the floor to get me up. They check on me. They say, hey, you're okay? The lightning hit your house. The neighbors are all upset because they saw your house glowing in a golden way. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, I'm okay. I feel great. I feel fine. I don't feel. Fast forward. 2 days later, my family was there. We were all sitting there. And they said, well, we're going to switch your furniture around because we want you to have easier access to be able to get to the bathroom with your walker and da-da-da-da. When we moved the couch, we saw a big, maybe 6 to 8 inch hole in the back of the couch. Not only did the lightning hit my house, it hit the place where I was, came through the couch, hit me, and knocked me out. I'm here to tell you, within 24 hours after that, I was able to walk around my house. Within 72 hours, I was able to walk around my neighborhood. What I'm saying to you is, God used any means necessary to get me back to a place where he can use me. And he didn't want me to be hindered by my situation or the totality of the situation I was in. Remember when I declared my father didn't tell me that I was going to walk again. That was giving honor to God, even in a situation I didn't understand. So my testimony is I'm thankful that God has and always has been. When I look back over my life and I think about all the things that he's brought me through, where he saved my life in many situations because he had a greater plan for me in my life, I'm thankful. I'm thankful because most people don't survive a lightning strike. Matter of fact, the instruments in my house, my AC motherboard, my phone, my TV were all lost in the process. But in the process of me losing that my material stuff, he strengthened me. He strengthened me. He broke the bone. They had screws in my leg. He broke the screws in my leg so that healing could occur. He didn't want anything to interrupt that. And so I'm here to tell you today that we don't have to just proclaim that what we want and wish. We have to have a relationship with God that's so powerful that even when we speak words, he honor our words. My father didn't tell me that. The doctor, he's educated to do what he needs to do. But my father is the one that made me. He's the one that put me together. He knows every aspect of my body, from the number of hairs on my head to what it takes to make me who I am. So, I am grateful and I'm faithful because the plan that was met was not the plan that had in place. God had everybody in place. The gentleman who was happened to be running, that rescued people who happened to pick me up and get me to the right doctors, everybody was in place before it ever happened. So there was there was a great lesson in that, and I learned to even trust God even greater in my life because I can look back on my life and say, you were there. You were there. You had orchestrated everything perfectly. I mean perfectly.
Okay.
And I'm thankful.
Amen.
The lightning that usually kills people saved me.
Amen. All right. We want to thank Pastor Floyd for that word, his testimony. We're so grateful for that. At this time, we're going to proceed with our program. We are really running out of time, you all. So we're going to ask you to be mindful of that because we want to give the speaker her due time because this program is on a timer. So please keep that in mind. We're going to go now with our next prayer warrior, Pastor Elder Johnson. So if you have a special prayer request, we're going to ask that you get it in this time. And Elder Johnson, if you'll just go ahead and write your prayer request down, you want to get it in at this time.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Dr. Walker and everyone. Yes, this is Sister Marjorie. I would like for them, I live in the Miami Gardens area, and I would like for them to pray. They would like to put Formula One racing car on the stadium field, and it would cause a hearing defect and different inconvenience and lung pollution, everything. So we are trying to fight against that. So we are asked, right now it's in the federal court, so we are asking God not to allow this to happen, not to give them the permit. So I would like prayer for that, and also prayer for my family, myself, and for everyone in Radioland for protection and guidance. Thank you.
Amen. All right, Elder Johnson, did you get that?
Yes, I did.
All right, anyone else? We'll take one or two more. All right. Elder Johnson, I want to pray for that God will bless this mission financially so that we can do work in the community, that he will bless this mission financially so that we can do the work that he has assigned me to do in the community. Is there anyone else? All right. If not, we'll go ahead with that prayer, Elder Johnson.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Lord, right now we just want to thank you, Lord, for last night's lying down and waking us up on this morning, Lord, and closing our right minds on the Sabbath day, Lord. We just want to ask you that you said that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, Lord. And you know you said if we need anything, Lord, we can come to you. And we're going to first and foremost pray for Dr. Walker, what he's trying to do, and his outreach. And you put it on his heart, and you gave him, like, the means to reach people, to have conversations, and to open up people's minds. You gave him the means to come into people's homes, Lord, but we want you to bless that 100-fold. He can go into 1,000 homes and go into the communities and start to do things and impact people and just give him what he's asking for. Bless his life. Bless what he's trying to do. Give him the insight on how to go. Right now, he may not have that path. He's looking for it. He's asking, and we're praying alongside him that you give him that sight that he can go and do greater things than he's doing now. And we just want to say thank you for that. And we know that when you do and answer that prayer openly, we know he will praise you openly. And we just want to say, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, make that happen. Lord, we also want to pray for Sister Marjorie and her family and the guidance that she is looking for. Lord, you said that if we draw nigh unto you, you'll draw nigh unto us, and she's drawing nigh unto you, asking for help and guiding her family, which is what we all need, Lord. Someone, matriarch or patriarch, to guide our family, those that are maybe going like a little lost. And we're asking you that you give her like the strength and the mindset to guide her family and bless the case that is in like the court for the Formula One. Well, I don't know all the ins and outs, Lord, but you know that you can protect her health. You know what that can do to her body and the noise and everything that is involved in that, Lord. We ask that you look upon the court and soften their hearts, Lord. And you know these people can find other places. And we just ask right now, Lord, that you bless that case to go in her favor because you know she's highly favored. We ask that right now, Lord, in the name, in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for that prayer for all those who made their prayer request. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our next person to come on, which will give a brief testimony. We're asking also that you keep in mind that the speaker should be coming up within the next 10 minutes. So please keep that in mind, you all, as we continue with our program. This time, Sister DeNova will give a brief testimony. Sister DeNova.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. The Lord has been so, so good to me. Let's pray and give him praise. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what people need to hear on this line. You know and you encourage your people, your children. So my prayer, Heavenly Ghost, is that you would be with us. Help us to be open to your Holy Spirit, open to listening and taking time with you. Heavenly Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to say thanks to God. He has me in transition. And I know that things have not been easy for me for the last 2 years. But I think for everybody right now, the season is pretty difficult. And this is a lesson of opening up our ears and listening to what the Holy Spirit has to tell us. Well, unfortunately, I was in a very tough financial situation, and I had moved in with someone who the Lord allowed me to stay with for about a little over 2 years. And when the person I was staying with was an elderly lady, she began to increase in Alzheimer's symptoms. It was very, very difficult for her. Her family had to come, you know, and sell the home and take care of her needs. At that point, I was in a situation where I had to also leave, but I had no money. I had very little resources. And this is the story of how the Lord provided all the way. So
been so good. Every step along the way, it's been one step with faith, and then the door would be open. And I had many people to pray with me along the way. But the Lord provided not only for me to be able to move out, find a place to stay. He allowed me to be able to just, you know, really take care of every need that I had along the way. And so I'm encouraging you all this morning, don't let the enemy tell you what you can and can't do. Don't listen to the voices in your head. If God has called you to something, if he's called you to do something, if he's called you to step out in faith in any type of way, don't worry. The Lord will provide everything that you need. And sometimes in the season in which we're around people that are not for us, people that don't understand the will of God because they themselves have not listened or hearkened unto the will of God. But I want to encourage you that if God is asking you to stand alone, you know, just understand again, like my brother's previous testimony, the angel of the Lord will encamp around those that fear him and deliver them. It's been very long day for me. I'm very extremely tired because in packing and everything that I had to do, I probably stayed up 2 days on end. I started to have to move everything by myself, and at the last minute I had a friend that was available to come and help me, and I had to get a U-Haul in town to get my things. But all of this was done before the Sabbath day. You have to understand, all of this was done before the Sabbath day. And when that U-Haul was parked back in the place where I picked it up from, there was still daylight. God never allowed for me to break the Sabbath day, even when the burden was too much for me to bear. He never allowed for me to sleep in the street. He provided for me a place to call you to something. He will provide for you. And that's my story.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Share.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Zanova, for sharing that testimony with us. We are really cramped for time at this point. And we're getting ready to go with our final prayer warrior, Pastor Floyd. We're going to ask that we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, but any of you all that have a prayer request, this is our final prayer request. We're going to ask that you give your name and just quickly, you all, please. We are so grateful that our speaker will be coming to us so quickly so he can get that in and log down the information. If you have a special prayer request at this time, please say your name and your request, please. All right. If you have a special prayer request, go ahead. Say your name.
Hello.
Good morning. This is Alpha. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is Belinda. I have a prayer request just for direction regarding to job and career. I feel the need to make a transition, and I want the best direction that I need to go into.
All right. Pastor Floyd, did you get that?
I did.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? I think Althea is on the line. Go ahead, Althea.
Yes. Oh, good morning. I would like my family to be prayed for and also myself. I'm not feeling that well. I seem to be coming down with high blood pressure every now and then. The pressure is very high. So please, I need some prayers because I don't want to be placed on medication. So please pray for me. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, is there anyone else? Please pray for the speaker of the hour as well, Pastor Floyd. Anyone else?
On the last lady's name, can I get her first name, please?
Althea. Althea.
Althea. Okay.
All right, we'll go with that, Pastor Floyd.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, first giving you great thanks and praise. We worship you because you are the Father and the Creator of all things. Father God, there have been two prayer requests that have been submitted to us today. First of all, we take those prayer requests and we submit them and we put them at the throne of God. We want your blood to cover that those prayers, and we want to be not only obedient in our walk with you, but we want to be obedient in our journey with you. So, Father God, we're going to start with Athea. Father God, she is having issues concerning her health. We know for a fact that the devil is the one that comes and attacks our health. He is the one that comes and disrupts us from walking in the perfecting way that you have had us. So, Father God, let's first start by saying anything that is in her way, any thoughts, any movements, any people, we ask that you remove those people from our life to keep her from worrying, to keep her from being afflicted with these things. High blood pressure, Father, in the name of Jesus, we denounce that today. Father God, we know that you are the healer. You send the comforter to come and comfort us. Father God, we do not have to accept the things that people have put up on us, that doctors have spoken. We do not have to accept that. So in the name of Jesus, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus because we want to give you the honor and the glory because you are the maker of our lives. Every day our body changes, and therefore, Father God, you are molding us to be better. You are perfecting us in our days as we go on forward. So we thank you for that. We thank you. By your stripes we are healed. All we have to do is confess in the name of Jesus, I am healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that. Father God, we want to speak to Lady Belinda today. She's looking for direction and focus in her career, her job. Father God, we just want you to give her the peace to know that you have already ordered her steps, Father God. She don't have to worry about what direction to go left, to go right. All she has to do is be obedient and walk ye therefore in the direction that you have already set place for her. She will see doors start to open. She will see things manifested. You said take no thought about what to eat, what to drink. Don't take no thought about tomorrow because I've already prepared you for what's about to be going into. So, Father God, give her the peace to know she don't have to worry. She don't have to even be concerned. When she looks back at her life and see all the great and wonderful doors and things he's done for her, she should already know that you have already provided a way for her. So, Father God, bless her in her journey. It's going to be a great journey. She has great talent. She's going to be able to do miraculous things. So let her just go forward in that. And, Father God, we want to ask a special covering for Dr. Jesse and his show. And everything about him, Father God, you have anointed him with your grace and your mercy. So, Father God, he is going to walk the way you want to walk, upright, and he's just going to receive the miracles of every miracle in this day. That's walking in the fullness of his blessings. So bless him in the fullness, Father God, not just a good morning, I'm awake, thank you, Lord. No, in every miracle that is allotted in his day going forward, I want Belinda to be anointed in every miracle that she's supposed to receive. I want Athea to be anointed in every miracle she's supposed to receive. Everybody on this prayer line to know that you are supposed to be walking in the fullness of God. That means no doubt, no worry, no concern. God says, I will take care of you through any situation. So blessings, and thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to speak for your people, through intercessory needs. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Floyd, for that powerful prayer. At this time, we're going to do the introduction of our speaker this morning. This is a young lady that about 2 weeks ago, she spoke on one of my programs, just made a comment. And at that time, it was something about what she said that the Spirit of God, I believe, impressed upon my heart to ask her. I called her after the show and asked her, and I never even met her, but I heard her speak. She just made a comment, a simple comment on the show, on one of my shows. And I called her afterwards and asked her, would you be my guest speaker in the next 2 weeks? And without hesitation, she said, yes. This morning, our speaker, Ms. Belinda Gamage, she's an educator, and she's vice principal with a BA. She holds a BS in informational systems and a master's in management. She serves in ministry as a worship leader. She is the founder of Purity Nation. She's the founder of Purity Nation. This is an organization that encourages young people to make positive decisions about their sexual health. She's also on the advisory board of Hope and Help, which assists HIV and AIDS patients in the community and spread awareness. She has a desire to see people thrive. Once again, she has a desire to see people thrive and become all that they can be for Christ. Just before our speaker comes on, we're going to have a song of meditation by Miss LeBron. After the song of meditation, the voice you will hear thereafter will be our speaker of the hour, and we pray that God would impress upon our heart an inspirational message for all of us that will be in the person of Sister Belinda Gamage. Sister LeBron?
Yes, amen. The song that that was impressed upon my heart this morning to sing is What a Day, Glorious Day That Will Be. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this world, and I'm ready to, you know, to go to heaven and see Christ. So as you hear the words of the song, just be blessed and know that, you know, we're all hoping for that same day.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, hallelujah, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Wow, that was a beautiful song. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for Dr. Walker for having me on. That was a great show that we were speaking on. We were actually talking about community. We were talking about the importance of sharing your gift and being everything that God has called you to be. And the question that Dr. Walker had asked me was, why aren't we doing more in our communities? Why are we not giving what we need to give that God has given us? And I had made the comment that sometimes we get so caught up in the building of the church in terms of being in the four walls that we forget that what we have is for the world. And there's so many people that are sitting in churches who are not feeling fulfilled because they're not actively working and doing the things that have been given to them to do. If we don't move, if we are not doing the things that have been placed in us to do, you know, I feel like we in some ways we die. We may not pass away or die physically, but we die spiritually because we weren't created to just sit and watch others. We were created to actually do something. Compassion is something that causes us to move. When we're compassionate about something, or when we talk about community and we see different things happening, well, compassion doesn't sit and watch. Compassion moves because you're moved to do something. It moves upon your heart to give someone what they need or to help that person in any way that you can. So when he asked me to say a few things for me, and it was funny because he had asked me for a thing, and I'm one of those people where I can think about it, I can try to bring it up in my mind, but if I don't have it, I just don't have it. And one morning, just a couple of days ago, it was like 5:30 in the morning, things just began to come to me. And that's pretty much how it happened, and then I began to write it down. And so what came to my mind was implanting your DNA. And DNA, the acronym I came up with was Destiny Now Awaits. Very simple. Why that? Well, just listening to the introduction, and sometimes when you hear people talk about you, and some, it's like, oh, wow, I did that, and I do all of that. Okay, so... So I'm listening to the different things about me, about myself, and one of the things of being an educator, I get to talk to young people every day. I teach middle and high school. And one of the things that I constantly talk to them about is you are unique. You have your own DNA. In science, our DNA is unlike anyone else's. Our fingerprint, there's no one with your fingerprint in the whole wide world of the billions of people that are here. There's no one here with your DNA. This is why scientists can figure out who you are, where you came from, and what you're all about based on your DNA and your fingerprint because it's unique. So if God has used science in that way in our bodies to show us how unique we are, then that obviously means that there's destiny in us, there's something in us that he's given us to do that we can, that no one else can do. And so I just think it's very important to remember that. Each of us has something unique to offer the world. And it's important to be aware of the sphere of influence that you have. What I find is sometimes when it comes to ministry, we want to do things that are far away from us. We feel fulfilled when we go out there, and sometimes we have to be careful about using ministry to be something that's at a distance. So, for example, what I mean is we will give money to Africa, we will give money to this country and that country and say, yes, I am part of, I'm doing ministry because I am doing things around the world. But our neighbor needs food and we don't give it to them. Or this person needs a ride and you know she's struggling, she has three kids and you just watch her struggle. So sometimes what happens is, and this can be a trick too, we can do all these things out here but forget the people that are in our sphere of influence. Who has God planted right in front of your eyes that you can build community with? Who are the people on your job that need your prayers? Who are the people around you in your neighborhood that need to see Jesus in you? And it's not always about preaching to people or giving them word and word or scripture. Sometimes it's just your attitude. Sometimes it's just showing up. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's just being aware. And one of the things about being aware in terms of being around the people in your community, I think it's important to be ready to be interrupted. As one sister was saying earlier, and when she was talking about community, we tend to be on our schedules. We have our plan for the day. We have the things that we want to accomplish. Well, within that, we have to be mindful that everything we do is not going to be planned and won't be on our schedules. So when we're talking about reaching people, we have to be prepared to be interrupted. We have to be prepared that when God says, hey, stop doing this, I need you over here. And so that requires spending time with the Lord. Understanding community and understanding what's in you to offer requires spending time in prayer, requires spending time alone so that you can get quiet enough to hear what it is that he needs you to do, what direction that he needs you to go into. Because we live in a very busy world, a world where people are running and running and running. And how can you implant or be able to put whatever's in you into the world if you don't know what's in you? And the way that we know is by spending time in prayer, spending time alone with the Lord is very, very important. And so I think, too, we just have to be mindful that we don't have to tackle the entire world and be aware of the world that's right around us. God wants to use our unique personality to reach the people around us. It's very important to, again, like I was saying, to spend time and listen to the Holy Spirit and let him guide you. And be open to what he wants to do within you. God wants to use unconventional ways for us to reach people. And community is not always just your neighborhood. It's when you go to the store. It's when you're out and about. And I think it's important before you step out the door to pray and say, Lord, I want you to use me today to reach someone. Help me to be aware of my surroundings. Help me to be aware of what's going on with the people around me so I can hear you. So even if you're pushing your cart down the aisle and he says, hey, turn to that lady and tell her that I love her, then you will be prepared to do it. But that requires being intentional, and it requires listening, and it requires being aware and not going through the motions. So when we talk about implanting our DNA, it's being unique to what God has given us and being able to be very self-aware about what's happening around us so that we can reach the people that we want to reach. Now, in regards to ministry, I think it's important that we set, if we have something on the inside of us that we know God has given us, okay, God has given me administrative ability, he's given me ability to sing or what have you, then we want to set goals that are attainable. And what I mean by that is sometimes we try to, again, conquer the whole world, and we don't sit down and try to plan out, okay, what is it that I need to do? The Bible talks about writing the vision. So whatever vision you have, whatever it is that you desire to do, very important to set the goals and make sure that you're setting a huge goal, but then taking it and breaking it down into pieces. So if you know music is a thing that you love to do, I love to sing. I've been singing for years. Well, if you want to do something in your church, you can sing at your church. If you can't, if for some reason church is not the place, then there's other opportunities for you to use your voice. But I'm going to get into that in just a moment about using our gifts in the body of Christ and what that looks like. And I think I'll just go into that now. So, again, one of the things that Dr. Walker was talking about on his show was why we don't go out and do more things in our community. And the response that I gave was, I feel at times you have what we call in church lay members. They are the people that don't necessarily have a ministerial title. And what happens in the building of a church is you have programs that are set up to do specific things. You have, okay, this ministry over here is going to feed the homeless, this ministry is for singles, this ministry for this or that. And we get very tied up in that. And if for some, and I've watched this happen in church, for some people, if they are not on a committee or a, or have a title, they don't feel empowered to move forward. And when you're talking about community, one of the things that I find is when I look at Jesus and his disciples, he took people that had specific jobs out in the marketplace, and he used them for ministry, but he didn't try to change them. So you had a fisherman on his disciple staff. He didn't tell him to stop fishing. He took what he knew how to do, and he said, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. That's great that you're a fisherman, I don't mind, but I'm going to teach you how to do this too. When it comes to being a tax collector, okay, that's great, collect taxes, but I'm going to use you for my ministry as well. So we never have to feel like because we have marketplace jobs that we can't be used. And we never have to feel like if we're not doing something specifically in the building of our church, that we are in, that we're not empowered to go out and to be in our communities and to do the things that God has called us to do. What we have in terms of the DNA that's on the inside of us is for the body of Christ, not just the specific church building. And I stress that because I've seen people who have gifts and are disappointed that when they can't use them in the four walls, they become, some of them have left the church or become sad, oh, they won't let me do this or let me do that. And it's like, wait a minute, what do you mean let you? You have something in the inside of you that God has called you to do, and it's important that you exercise those gifts and do what he's called you to. Now, I'm not a supporter of just being haphazard and just going out and doing whatever you want to do because you feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. It's important to have support. And I think that when it is properly put together and you've thought it through, you prayed it through, and you get support, then sometimes your support may not be from in the building of the church. It may be from within the community. Most of the opportunities that have been open to me was because I was out in the community doing something. Someone saw what I was doing, and they said, hey, we want to take what you're doing. We want you to come and join us. And when Christ lives in you, you can go out into the world and do many, many different things when he's in your heart, because you know the foundation that's on the inside of you, and nothing can deter you from that. So we shouldn't be afraid to step out into our communities. Giving you a prime example for Hope and Help, the advisory board that I sit on. I was at an HIV/AIDS symposium, and, you know, talking about walking in purity is not the most popular thing. Most people are like, what do you mean you want people to not do it at all? Well, I have my own testimony about all of that. So I stress the importance of positive sexual health and the importance of walking in purity and why it's the best thing to do. Well, the director of Hope and Help came to me, and I passed out my card to her. She saw what I was doing. Now, this is a woman that supports typically a lot of LGBTQ community people who are not even thinking about not having sex. But she saw what I was doing and said, I want you to come and join us because you're an educator and you have this vision, and I love what you're doing, because she understands the importance of diversity. And so I was out there, and I began to talk, and I began to network, and the doors open. So if you're looking for the support, it may not always be right there in your specific church. You may have to step outside that door. But remember, we've been called to the world. Our DNA needs to go into the world. Your gift is for the body of Christ. And I want to just really caution as I close, support versus control. Ministry leaders should be there to support and guide and not to control you. We have to be so careful about that. I think about this, and this is one of the examples I used on the show. I used to get caught up in the idea that whatever I did, I had to get all the support from the people in my church, and if I didn't, then God didn't want me to do it. And I had to be very careful about that, because there were things that I knew I needed to do, but sometimes you don't always, you know, you don't have time to meet with this person, that person. It's like I can't get, I guess, permission from every single person to do what God has called me to do. And the example that kind of set me free from that was Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. He gave him specific instructions down to every last measurement. And in that particular example, and many examples in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, I did not see where Noah was asking everybody, what do you think about that? Do you think I should build the ark? Do you think I should do this? What do you think? What is your thoughts on that? He didn't get all of this feedback. God said it. He did it. Even though it was hard, even though he was getting ridiculed left and right, he was obedient. So my call to you is to be obedient. You have something unique on the inside of you. God wants to use you. Let him use you, and don't be afraid. He will give you everything you need, like the last young lady testified. He will give you what you need. Don't be afraid. He will give you the people that will support you, and there will be seasons where you're going to go out there and you're going to feel alone, but you're not. So let the world be your stage. Let the world be your stage and recognize that your success is when you're obedient to the call that God has given to you in your life. And so I really hope that I said a lot, but I hope that what I have said has been something that will stick with you. And know that destiny now awaits. It awaits now, not tomorrow. And so thank you, Dr. Walker, for letting me speak. And I pray, God, that you would, everyone would be blessed on today.
Listen, you have certainly blessed my heart. And I'm certain that you have blessed the hearts of our listeners. Your voice, you know, sometimes it doesn't take that shouting ministry. You know, like you say, all of us have a uniqueness about us, and all we've got to do is just exercise that. And it doesn't always have to be the preacher coming with shouting or just you know, raging. You came to us this morning, Sister Belinda, with a still, calm voice. And sometimes I'm reminded that God comes to us with a still, calm voice. You know, you talked about implanting your DNA. Destiny now awaits. Thank you for reminding us that he created us to do something, to have that compassion that moves. You reminded us that we have a unique DNA. There's no one else like us. God has created each of us to be unique. And we're thankful for you telling us about, you know, it's about our attitude. It's about our smiles. It's about being aware of others in our community. You shared with us about the importance of preparation for interruption, you know, and I know God takes us out of our comfort zone. You reminded us the importance of having that quiet time with God for his guidance and his direction. You were also mindful of reminding us to be aware of the world immediately around us, because science tells us that, you know, science itself is an organized collection of knowledge about the world around us. You also reminded us that God uses unconventional ways to reach people, like just simply in the grocery store. You know, there's something unique about people around us, and you wanted us to be mindful of that in the community. We're so thankful for you sharing with us the importance of being self-aware and that ministry is using our gifts in the body of Christ. And you're telling us that our talents, our goals, that we have to do the planning, as the Bible talks about the vision. And you mentioned to us about chunking those goals into small pieces. And then you talked about the lay ministry, people without titles who, you know, who are getting out there and doing things. And you talked about the marketplace of jobs. Jesus shows people in the marketplace. And you know, I was really blessed with this whole message and how he used those people in the marketplace and he expanded on their own gifts and their talents. And then you went in and say about the DNA is about the body of Christ, not just church building. And you commissioned us to exercise our gifts. And then you talked about the support system. You said God will bless your mission through networking into the world versus control. And I know a lot of times, you know, we need to be reminded of that as ministers, me myself, that it's not about the ministerial leader controlling, but offering spiritual guidance and support, the importance of that. And finally, you talked about NOR. God gave him specific instructions to build an ark. Noah did not set out to get a second opinion or a third opinion because he got his directions solely from God. And there's no period after God has spoken. And then you finally told us that God will give you everything you need. You know, the world will be your stage. And that success is obedience to God's word. And we thank you for letting us know that destiny now awaits. Thank you so very much for that beautiful message this morning. And now we're going to have just closing remarks. I just want to say, because we're completely out of time, that the next service will be in 2 weeks, and that will be our International Divine Intervention Day. Mark your calendars. That's going to be June 12th, 6:30 in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our benediction, and then we'll give our closing song that we do. Our benediction will now come to us by Pastor Ben Floyd. Pastor Floyd, are you there? All right, Pastor Floyd, hold on 1 second. I think that I've got you over here. Yes. All right, Pastor Floyd, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the benediction. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gathering of the saints and the believers to come before you, to acknowledge you, to give you praise and worship, to come into a peace and a rest on this day that you have set aside for us. We are so thankful for every individual that had their place, their part in this whole station, this whole worship service. And each part benefited the part before, and each part after that manifested the part before that. So it was a continual cycle that kept building, 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 till we got to our speaker. And we thank you for our speaker. Our speaker had so much powerful words. She spoke to our spirits, our hearts. She spoke to men and womankind. A lot of times we think that we're simply just ordinary people doing ordinary things. No. She spoke to the spirit, the essence of who man and woman is, the love and the kindness that we're supposed to do, and to go forth into your journey with directions and instructions. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for Dr. Walker being able to summarize her entire sermon and so many eloquent words that just permeated through each of our hearts. And Father God, I'm thankful that I get to end closing this prayer. Father God, bless us all in a mighty way. Continue to take our gifts and use them and grow them. Continue to take the anointing that you have over our life and allow it to flourish, to allow it to be seen by every believer, every non-believer, every person that comes in contact with us. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for this show. Thank you for every person that is here today being represented by their families, by them. And most of all, Father God, thank you for waking us up this morning to be a part of this awesome, awesome dialogue and conversation. Let our ears hear and our minds receive and our hearts grow from the love and the presentations that's been presented this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. And now I want to leave you all with our closing music as we conclude our program today. God be the glory, everyone. I want you to have, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to have a wonderful, blessed day, everyone. And let's take the charge that has been presented to us and do something for our community this week as it's been presented. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath. Shalom. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Walker, and thanks to everyone. God bless you all. Have a great day, Sabbath day. Thank you for all your participation, everyone. Love you all. God bless you. Session today. Thank you.